The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's an old saying, man plans and God laughs. Time makes a difference. Maybe in some ways, time makes a fool of us all. We plan, we envision, we prepare. But the future comes and it looks very different from that which we thought it would be. The difference a week makes. That's okay. If there's a joke, we can have a rim shot in a bit. Okay. Last week, when Bishop Sidney was here, we had John the Baptist baptized in River Jordan. He's preaching about repentance. People are coming, they're being baptized. The crowd parts. Jesus of Nazareth walks through it, and John says, "Here he is, the Messiah. This is the one who has come to baptize with fire. He has the winnowing fork in his hand. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to bring in this holy day of God. Everything will be set right." And now 7 days later, we have John the Baptist again. And this time, John's in jail. He's threatened King Herod. He's locked up in a dark basement dungeon. And he sends his followers to go to Jesus and say, "Tell me, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for?" Because where John sits, this Jesus is very different from the Jesus he thought was coming. He had different plans for the Messiah. He saw a royal war. He saw the proud and the rich and the sinful being overthrown. He saw the day of judgment coming. But for John, that day never came. He finds himself in jail. I'm sure when this holy army will rise up, I'm sure when those who are given to sin will get their due. Is this the Messiah that we've been waiting for? Even in the church, time makes a fool out of us. 1 year ago at this time, we had raised some money. We had some generous donations. We were planning to renovate a kitchen. We had a few dollars in the bank. We voted, yeah, let's do it. It's so simple. Now here we are a year later. Renovations are almost done. The money is gone. Bills aren't being paid. And according to your bulletin, we're short $22,500. We have 2 Sundays left. What will happen? We can start looking at Jesus and saying, "Are you the Messiah that we've been waiting for? We prayed, we planned, we saved. What went wrong?" Like John, we have questions. We want things to magically work out for us. We want God to solve our problems. We want things to be made right. We don't want to get overdue bill notices in the mail. We don't want to bounce checks. pastors don't want to preach about the need to give. We might talk about other things, believe it or not. But yet here we are. What kind of Messiah do we have? What kind of Jesus do we worship if our problems aren't solved? If the cancer doesn't go away? If the bank accounts don't magically fill up? If the pews aren't full? If the roof still leaks? If marriages aren't saved? What kind of Jesus do we have? Like John, we find ourselves in a jail, rotting in a cell, wondering, where is our hope? Where is that we worship? Where is that we wait for? If God doesn't fix this, who will fix this? The truth of the matter is, it's very easy to call Jesus Lord when things are going well. When Jesus shows up and everyone's being baptized and John is standing there at the river of the Jordan and he says, there is the Messiah. I am unfit to untie his sandals. That's easy to say. Because things are going well. When your new baby is born and you're standing there holding it for the first time, it's easy to say, God is good. If that same baby's waiting for surgery, it's not so easy. If you get a promotion at work, if you put a few dollars away, it's easy to say, thanks be to God. But if you lose your job, if your bank account is empty, if the credit card bills are overdue, it's very hard to say Jesus lives. This is a theology of glory. The idea that we can plan our way to successfulness. The idea that God is our magical butler in heaven, fulfilling all our hopes and all our dreams. And somehow God looks a lot like us. God wants the same things that we want. God wants to solve the same problems that we create. God wants to see through it, that we never suffer, that we never grow, that we never wait, that we never have to be patient. But we don't find that God. What do we do? What do we do? This is a hard question. What God do we find? What God do we look for? Do we look for a God of glory? This is the God of Christmas Eve. This is why the Christmas story still fills the hearts and minds of our largely secular world. Because this is a God that looks like us. This little baby born in a manger with a bright star shining over top of him, with wise men and kings coming to visit him, with angels blaring their trumpets, with shepherds traveling across the countryside. This is the God of glory. This is a God that's never challenged anybody. This is a God that asks nothing of us. This is the God that is an infant. And we love the infantile God. Because we think we can control that God. We can make that God look like us. And so we can sing pretty songs about born in the manger, about stars twinkling at night, about peace, love, hope, and joy. But they're songs that say nothing about us, about our condition. So what about the God of the cross? The God who knows suffering. The God who knows endurance. The God who knows torture. The God who knows doubt. The God who knows tears. Is that a helpful God to us? Is that a God that we turn to? We sing our hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. We will hear on Christmas Eve the story that Christ will be called Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God is with us. That God walks with us, and God blesses us, and God cares for us, and God cries with us, and God mourns with us, and ultimately, God will die with us, and we will rise with God. That God is with us. This is a God that saves. This is a God that blesses. This is a God that understands. This is a God that doesn't look like our idea of God. This is why John got it wrong. John wanted the Messiah to come with a mighty sword in his hand to make everything right. So he sends his followers to say to Jesus, tell me, are you the one we're waiting for? And Jesus says, tell John, the blind are regaining sight, the deaf are hearing, the lepers are being cleansed, the hungry are being fed, the dead are rising. These are the marks. Excuse me. These are the marks of God's kingdom. Not bank accounts being made whole. See, it's different. What we want God to do isn't always what God does. But what we're called to do is always recognize that God is at work in the world. It's our job to work with God. If God gives us a church, it's our job to say, yeah, we want to support this. If God gives us an opportunity for ministry, it's our job to say, yes, we want to support that. It's not our job to stand back and say, God, do all the work. God, make it all better. God, are you the one we're waiting for? God doesn't want us just to be spectators. God wants us to be active participants in this new kingdom. God wants us to leave the jail cells of our own lives, those dark places that cause us to wonder, is God gone? Why am I trapped here? With doubt and sickness and worry and despair. God, how come you haven't freed me from this yet? But God has freed us. God has freed us through the same things that God is doing in the world because God is with us. God is Emmanuel. God's saying, come along, follow me, I will show you a new way to live. But you have to conform yourself to that new way. It is a way that will involve worry. It is a way that will involve scorn. It's a way that will involve at times poverty, hardship, tears, and mourning. But it's a way that will also bring great joy, great compassion, great understanding, and new life. See, God perfects these things in us. I wish I could tell you that if you believe in Jesus, to come here on Sunday morning means that you've never experienced any of these hardships. That your life, your future would look just like you want it to look. That you've never experienced the pain of unfulfilled dreams. We've all had them. We might imagine our retirement to look a certain way. And we find ourselves living something radically different. We might imagine our marriage to look a certain way. And we find ourselves living something radically different. We might imagine our children to grow up and be something. But as time moves forward, we see something radically different. Same is true with the church. Same is true with our professional lives. Same is true with our country and our world. We dream and we hope and we pray. But how do we respond when things don't seem to work out how we want them to work out? Do we allow God to take those things, to transform them in our lives and show us a new way of being? To show us new understandings and new learning. To show us new reasons for hope and joy. To show us a new creation. Or do we sit in the jail cell of our own psychology? Do we mumble and say to ourselves, this Jesus, is he the one that I'm waiting for? How come he's not doing the things I want him to do? How come he's not hearing my prayers? How come he's not transforming this in the way that I think is perfect? If we do that, then we've missed who Jesus is. We've missed the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is transformative. It transforms the world. It transforms our lives. It says the cross does not win. Death does not win. Despair does not win. Exile does not win. Pain does not win. Sickness does not win. Poverty does not win. It defeats all those things. Do we allow them to be defeated in our lives? Or do we just sit? Thinking, well, this isn't what I planned. It shouldn't be this way. Shame on you and shame on the world. Or do we say, what is God doing here? How in our own lives is sickness being healed? How in our own lives are we receiving new sight? How in our own lives is that which is dead coming back to life and rising to newness of Christ? Because this is what Jesus does. He separates the wheat from the chaff. John had it right. Christ has come to separate wheat from chaff. He does that individually to us. The things that hold us down, the things that cause us to weigh awake at night, worrying, the things that make us think that we're undeserving, that we're less than we should be. That's the chaff in our lives, and that's what Christ separates. The wheat is the goodness of God that we have. The peace, the hope, the joy, the love, the knowledge of the gospel, forgiveness, grace, you name it. These are the things that we're told in the Bible bear good fruit. It is the seed, not the chaff, that has life. And this is what Christ has come to separate. John had his life, but he saw it very differently. He simply saw life in terms of good and evil. There's good people and bad people. Christ will separate the evil from the good. But Christ has made it personal. In our lives, there is good and evil. There is light and there is darkness. There is slavery and there is freedom. And Christ separates the chaff. The world will throw all kinds of garbage at us. We'll throw all kinds of garbage at ourselves. But through that all, we know that Christ is the one of God. We know that Christ is Emmanuel. That Christ is with us. And we know that Christ, given the opportunity, will make all things new in our lives. It might not look how we want it to look. It might surprise us. It might confound us. But make no mistake, it will better us. Because God works good through all things. Whether it's the church budget, whether it's sickness or disease, whether it's poverty, God can work good through all these things so that we can more fully understand God's love, richness, and mercy in our lives. This is the Christmas miracle. That God has come into the world to laugh with us, to cry with us, to suffer with us, to eat with us, to claim us, and ultimately to save us. Amen.